Well, hello, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome in wherever you are in the world, and welcome to another episode of The Buddhist Biohacker. My name is Lisa. I am your mystic guide, as always, in this wild world that we live in these days. And I am so excited to welcome our special guest, a brand new guest to Buddhist Biohacker, and it's Lauren. And Lauren teaches the mental emotional components of physical pain. And she is currently working on her new book, Pain Explained: The Law of Attraction Gone Wrong. And welcome in, Lauren. It's so exciting to have you here.
Oh my God, I'm like busting at the seams. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, this is so fabulous. And, you know, I was cruising through your Instagram and you've got so much great content, so many things you're teaching and sharing. And I think we'll just start out. First off, everybody who's joining in the live, hi, Susan, good afternoon already to you. Please share in the live chat, you guys, where you're from and maybe one word that expresses what you're feeling today. I'd love to hear from you. So please do share that. And you can obviously always share your questions and comments for Lauren in the comment box as well. So with that out of the way, Lauren, I really just want to start out by having you share a little bit about who you are with everyone.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. And I thought I locked up all the dogs, but a Shih Tzu is up here. Can I just grab him really quick?
Yes, you totally can.
Coco.
Oh my God, I don't even.
Oh, here he is. Well, here. So these are, I have two familiars. Aww. He's actually revealed to me his light body. He's an interdimensional. I can't believe I'm saying this right now. Yeah. So he joins often. He figures out how to get up here. So that's not surprising, actually.
I love it. I love it. Well, my little kitty cauldron will probably make an appearance at some point too.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. Thank you. My name is Lauren and I've been a fitness professional for 20 years. And before that, I was an early childhood development. I was a preschool teacher for 3 years. Well, technically 1 year, but then I did the whole after-school program for the preschool side at one point. And I really focus on working with people in fitness to become strong and athletic again, even after the most devastating illnesses and injuries. Mm-hmm. And my preschool background, you know, is the synchronicity of it and understanding the trauma that we may observe or experience in those ages 0 to 7 really kind of geared me up for understanding how people will have illnesses or injuries or recurring flares. That's the whole mental emotional connection from things that they experienced in that age frame.
Ah, that's so cool. That's so cool. So when did you connect, like, was it always a connection for you spiritually, physically, or was there like a moment where it connected for you between the two worlds?
Well, you know, I'm a 12th house Pisces, and I always say I'm a 12th house Pilates because I'm a Pilates teacher too. And I'm like, wait, no, it's Pisces. So I'm learning more about myself, of how open I am to psychic energies and out of this realm energies. So really from that perspective, I think I've always been open to the spiritual connection, and I'm learning more of how to navigate it. And for me that like tied it in for me personally to understand this connection was that I had cervical disc injury where a disc slid up and under the one above it, but I didn't have an external trauma.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so then as I got into vibrational work and meditation, that's when I learned about all of the early, that age frame of 0 to 7. Yeah. Fitness and embodiment, a great topic. Oh my gosh. Yes. Thank you, Fairy. Yeah. Fairy Grasshopper. I love that.
I know, me too. What a great handle. Totally. Wow. So let's talk about the mental emotional components of pain. I want to talk about this because I also, you know, just some background because we're just learning about each other here. Some background about me. So I actually had a health crisis in 2011 and I found out I had 3 different parasites that were destroying my liver and 22 food allergies I didn't know I had. So I had to completely change everything that I was doing with my health, and I lost 100 pounds. through that process. And that process wasn't just a diet. By the way, the 100 pounds was all about energy. And I wrote a whole book about it called Enlightenment Pie, which I never talk about. So I guess you guys know.
I know.
So Enlightenment Pie is my book about that journey and what that was like. But, and so through that, some things happened, which was I recognized that there was a lot of things I was just accepting as like part of my body, and pain was one of them, where it was like, oh, I just have joint pain, or I just wake up and my, you know, I have had arthritic pain in my hands. That's just normal. And then I changed the way I lived and it was like, oh, it's all gone. That totally wasn't normal. And so I'm just curious, like your thoughts, like I want to dive into all of this because it's, I love talking about it. It's so amazing that you can heal. Everyone can heal. It doesn't
everyone can heal. Yeah. Okay. So I'll warn you, Mercury is an Aquarius for me in my natal chart. So that means I'm all over the place. So you might have to like funnel it down.
Okay.
Cause like I have like five topics all the time at once going on in my brain. Well, so I totally agree with you. And what's interesting too, is that like all of 2020, I've been doing shadow work for myself. Because as we started to see constructs in our civilization start to deteriorate, I got triggered massively around the civil rights issues. And I got reverted back to my 13-year-old self. And when I realized that I was triggered and operating out of trauma, I was like, oh, wait, there's something else happening in 2020. And so I got into the energy stuff, looked into that we are legitimately into the age of Aquarius. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, so the energy, if it's energy first, material second, we don't have the same energy anymore. And for me, for what my perspective is, the only way that we can regenerate the oppressive structures is if we let ourselves operate in our triggers. So all of this shadow work I've been doing, I actually ended up with a constitutional acupuncturist.
Wow.
And I'm a Hepatia? Oh, I don't even know what I am. But basically, I've changed my whole diet and I lost 15 pounds this year. Well, last year. So it's really interesting. And it was like, I fell to the floor in pain because it was just overwhelming. And when I called the doctor and I went to the ER, I was like, I thought I was going to throw up, have a baby, have diarrhea all at the same time. Like it was just so intense. And then I went to an acupuncturist. It went away like that in changing the eating. So I definitely like can see that. And I'm like, you guys, like, this is shadow work. This isn't a diet. It's shadow work, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So just to relate to you there.
Yeah. Well, and you're right about the shadow work with that, because, you know, what happened to me is I realized how much I had an addiction to food. I mean, you don't realize it. I write about it in my book. This is a great story, Lauren. You'll like it. So I was a Diet Coke drinker. So I'm a multi-generational psychic medium. So that was part of my life. However, I also worked in fashion retail for many, many years. And so in retail, you work at a mall, you run a store, you're like constantly at the food court. So I was always drinking Diet Coke. So when I got sick and I had all of these crazy things happen, a lot of nervous system for me, it was like all nervous system stuff. That's my Achilles heel. So when I stopped cold turkey, everything, but especially the Diet Coke, you guys, and it's crazy because now it's like, oh my God, I can't believe I was putting those chemicals in my body, but this is 2011. I was like clinging to the floor, like to the rug in the bathroom with sweats and panic and sick and everything like coming off of the caffeine and the sugar. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking like, oh my God, this is probably what like a drug addict feels like, getting off of a drug. And I'm like, here it is. I thought it was like, oh, normal. We all drink stuff like that. And I was so sick. And you realize that's that shadow piece, is you realize, oh my God, I was completely addicted to a substance and didn't even recognize that that was what was happening. It's like life changing when that happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, back to like the, what you're saying, like how you always had pain. I've always, I feel like I'm usually out of my body. And so generally I'm getting better at it the more like I'm dropping in with understanding my abilities to hit these other dimensions. And so before it would just be out of control where I would experience something, but I didn't process it mentally. So the pain would just show up. So then it would have to be like, okay, what did I just do in the last 3 days? And then I would be able to process it and get out of pain. Mm-hmm. And in 2008, I went to nervous system classes to teach joint mobility, to teach people basically how to be their own chiropractors. And they're like, they warn everybody when you take that class, they're like, hey, if you do this, you are going to attract the weirdest clients with the strangest pain, because you do end up working with people with nervous system stuff. Mm-hmm. And so since 2008, when I was an untrained psychic, right, I with zero boundaries, at the end of my workday, I would have everybody's pain pattern.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
I got rid of it. I took it. And so I've been working with people with pain for a long time, but because I've experienced trauma in all four of the bodies, like big time, significant enough to cause me to move into shadow in those first three earth chakras. And that has distorted my abilities. And so for most of my life, it really wasn't until like 2015 to 2017 that I started to crack. And if you look at the astrology, that's when the star seeds got activated for Age of Aquarius, mm-hmm. you know, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like everything is kind of new and kind of an assimilation process for me right now, and really being able to use these gifts to tap into multi dimensions to understand what's going on in people's physical body.
Yeah, for sure. So when you look at a body, I'm just so curious, like, because I know you talked about light bodies and stuff. Like, what do you see when you look at somebody? Like, someone comes to you, they say, okay, I've got this pain and this stuff that's happening. Like, what do you see? Like, where do you go first? Like, what do you do?
Mm-hmm. Well, what I do is my spirit team are the Ascended Masters. And they revealed, Saint Germain was the first to reveal himself that he's working with me, like, go figure. Well, you know, that's not that unique for right now. But then I have like a couple of favorites that I do work with. And so usually what happens is I just really am cognizant of staying in my heart space. I'm not perfect at it, but I really do my best to stay in my heart space. And so oftentimes what happens is just in conversations with people, I end up asking the right questions. So I don't know what my quote unquote gift is, because mm-hmm. I don't really see it as an energy. I don't see colors. I don't see any of that. It just ends up coming in my communication, which mm-hmm. I think is just the Mercury and Aquarius thing.
Yeah.
So like then if I do have a session with somebody, so that's more of like the casual interaction where like I'll just end up saying the right thing at the right time. Mm-hmm. But if I'm in a session with someone beforehand, I drop into, I connect our high selves and I ask our high selves to work on that person's behalf. And because that's not bothering, or that's not, you know, influencing free will to make that connection. And then when we do get into session with someone, I let them know like, hey, I connected on our high selves for the highest outcome for you. And then I'm like, tell me everything. And then they'll just start talking. And then everything will just evolve from that level. So I don't know if there's a word for it, but or a category.
But the word. Yeah, that's great. I love it. And, you know, what do you, what are some of the types of people that you work with? Like when you work with the pain, so you connect with them and you have these conversations, and then what do you do? Like, do you give them physical things to do, and how does that work?
Yeah. So a lot of my clients just have like, so they range from minor, you know, I'm at my desk, I'm looking down, my neck hurts. Minor stuff like that, to someone that I have, like, she's got rods in her back, nerve damage, and she does things that she quote unquote should not be able to do because we've been building the nerves back. And so from that physical perspective, I follow an energetic line of how energy force transfers from the body. So from the fitness perspective, my philosophy is that, you know, when you step forward with your right foot and your heel hits the floor, that force generates up the back of the leg, crosses through the pelvis, out the opposite hand and temple. And so if your shoulders and your pelvis are acting as the fulcrums that they're designed to be, that energy can transfer side to side. So, and then if it's jammed, if there's a jammed joint, then the energy is going to get stuck, and then that's going to mechanically hurt. So I take into account all of the bodies, you know, into their pain. Not everybody knows this. I got a lot of people that just want a tight butt, you know, that I don't like dive into all of this with, but they end up, you know, and so that's like a huge method that I do with people, where we focus a ton on shoulders and pelvis and core. And then we put in the accessory stuff because everybody, even the woman that I said that has the pins in her back, she's 73 and she always is like flexing. She's like, I've never had this muscle before. So I end up with people that want to look good and want to feel good too, you know, correct those patterns.
Yes. Oh my God. I love it. I have so many questions for you now. I'm like, where do we go from here? Where do we go? Because I just want to know, like, you know, I was watching your Instagram. This is where I want to go. I was watching your Instagram and you were really sharing some teachings about, you know, self-care and self-love and things like that. And so I want you to talk a little bit about some of the teaching that you do. That's, you know, not just the physical work, but there's some other things that you're doing. So let's talk about that.
Oh my God, don't make me cry. I know. Well, so the spiritual perspective, you know, I've had 2020, I had so many moments where I was like watching dreams that I had as a kid or watching abstract things that I had as a kid. And so I'm like, wait a minute, who the F am I over here, right? What am I doing? And so for me, what I believe is my mission or what self-love, hey, Hope, what I believe is self-love for me is that going up the inner rainbow within your chakra system and literally crowning your self-love. Because from the fitness perspective of how I got to here was that I was like Pilates, cardio, starvation. Like that's what I did. And then when I got into strength training in 2008, I was like, ooh, it's not about how much I weigh. It's about how much I lift. Yeah. And then when my neck went kaput, I was like, well, if it doesn't matter how much I weigh and it doesn't matter how much I lift, then what am I supposed to do with this thing? Right? Like, where's my identity going to be now? And so it's really been since 2017 of this like self-love quest, which our Ascended Master Lady Nada came to me in 2015 to help me with this. And I didn't know that until recently that she has been with me.
Oh my God. You're like, I'm just telling you, man, Saint Germain, Lady Nada, Melchizedek. These are like some of my peeps. Like I'm a Metatron girl. So you're speaking my language. No wonder we've connected because I'm like, you are totally laying down the masters that I work with too. So
yeah. I'm getting chills. I'm like hot and getting chills. Well, and then it's funny because when I wanted to log in first and set up my room and everything. And so I was waiting for you to come on. I was like, okay, Archangel Metatron, our Ascended Master Abraham, please give me the analogies and please give me the structure. And so we'll hope that happens. And so when I got triggered and realized Mel's buddy too, she's like, this is so great. We're like, what if we're all in the Melchizedek order?
I know. I'm like, we're like in the violet flame portal right now. So I'm like really into this. And
oh God, my whole body. Yeah, my whole body is just like going crazy. So it's so funny that we are right. This is like so and I got my, you know, got these guys out in front of me.
Oh my God, I love it so much. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'll get on track. Look at the Metatron, so I'm good with structure. Call my spiritual chiropractor. Oh my gosh, I love that. Yes.
Oh my gosh, Metatron's amazing. Amazing. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yes. Okay. I'll reel it in because this is significant, especially if someone is not on the Ascended Master vibe, this might resonate. So when I started to go through the process, I basically transformed energetically. And then like a week later, a month later, I would be guided to a resource and the words in the resource would be exactly what I experienced. Or what I wrote. And I was like, what is this? Time is not linear. Okie dokie, what is going on here? And so as I started to go through the chakras, I was like, okay, so my root chakra has turned to fear. I know what I believe incident made that happen and inverted my divine soul blueprint. And then I went into sacral chakra and I'm like, okay, so here's all my shame stuff. Okay, solar plexus, here's all my blame stuff. Oh, the heart is the place where we filter all these experiences and extract the wisdom. So the heart became a filter for me. And then I was like, oh, so then when you know who you are, quote unquote, you can speak your truth. The more you speak it into existence, the more you're working in a cyclical fashion with your pineal gland. And then when you get to your crown chakra, or to me, the getting to the crown chakra of crowning your self-love is that you see how you've created your reality from trauma, and you sit with yourself and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm the biggest jerk in the world. Look at how I projected everything. OMG, this means I'm God. I created my reality. Oh my, I'm God. And then you crown yourself. And if this is a universe of love, that's what self-love is to me. And before, when I was like in the diet and cardio and then into the strength training and then, oh, I'm going to practice self-love. I'm going to do a manicure. I'm going to get my nails done. I was like, oh no, that's not self-love. No, self is love, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's like just really transformed for me. And so it's been really, I've been sharing my whole experience going through my ancestral stuff with all three religions, ironically, like not ironically, right? They're all in my blood and all that trauma. So I overshared so much during the summer. It was kind of ridiculous. And so I've been like trying to figure out, how do I talk about pain for physical stuff for people who this is way too much, but still give them just a little bit to be like, there's actually more than your physical body over here.
Yeah, so. For sure. Well, you're in the right show to be talking about all the woo-woo, because that's so totally glad. What we do here. Yeah. I think our community of listeners is very in tune to what you're saying. And I love what you're saying. I mean, that's the self-love is that realization that God source exists within each one of us, and that we are bringing God into form through everything that we do. And it is such a huge lesson. And I really believe that every star seed on the planet, like, this is our lesson right now. I think our lesson was, you need to come here and learn how to love yourself so that you can help with the ascension cycle of the earth, because yeah. We're in the middle of it right now.
I know.
We're really just kicking off, actually, but we got 1,000 years of crazy, but go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I'm just like, oh my God. So, because, you know, when I realized that because I did my research, I didn't know any of this stuff until I got triggered. And so when I was doing the research and I was like, I'm alive at the beginning of a civilization shift. Oh, I am so lucky. Like, mm-hmm. I saw it as like completely like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. And just recently, you know, I have a lot of stuff with trauma on both sides of my family and ancestral stuff, like what everybody does. So the recent thing that came up is that he doesn't listen to anything that I do. My dad gave me 2 sentences every time I ever told him that he hurt my feelings. And it's always been like, before I, you know, let that heart chakra start to come online with Lady Nada in 2015, I had a really hard heart, thick heart wall, energetic wall. And I didn't express myself because I was always made, this was the thing. And this goes into the polarity of what's happening right now with people who are being manipulated is, when I said, oh, you hurt my feelings, I was like 6 or 7. And he said, well, this is what you did first to make me do that. 7-year-old. And then the second thing that he said continually my whole life up until like 3 years ago, and I finally called him out on it when he said both in the same like 3 to 5 minute period. The second thing that he would say to me was, well, I don't remember my emotional state at that time, so I really can't talk about it. Totally opt out.
Mm.
And words are my thing. Like, so I'm always on the thesaurus. And so I'm like, okay, so first of all, he blamed me for his actions. First one. Second one is he gaslit me. That's like the best word I can summarize it, because when I looked it up, it said that makes people question their reality.
Yeah.
And so then when I looked at the polarity of the fourth dimension that's trying to hold on to the Piscean frequencies, I was like, oh, now I see why he said that, because I just spent 38 minus 7, 31 years in that, learning what that actually looks like and experiencing and being married to somebody that did the same thing. And then now look, now we're at the trajectory, and I, you know, integrated all of that, but that all prepared me to see what the Piscean frequencies are actually doing. And that was just like beyond liberating. And when I told my mom, she was like, well, as your mom, I'm still sad for what you went through. And I'm like, it's okay. Don't worry about it.
I want you to talk more about the Piscean frequencies.
Yeah. So I did a past life regression with one of my clients. She actually does this. And my Hungarian grandmother came into it. And that is not at all who I thought I was ever going to work with. I had no connection to her whatsoever. I thought I was going to call in the Jewish ancestors. So we're in this past life regression. The male, because male, I've got like distorted masculine energy because of my dad. All my male ancestors show up in a circle. And wow. Then in the center of the circle, yeah, in the center of circle, my great-grandmother shows up, the Hungarian one, and her daughter shows up, my grandmother, who was really, really mean to me, like unbearably cruel. And my great-grandmother was showing my grandmother, like, she's a nice kid. Like, what was wrong with you, right? And when I started crying, all of my male ancestors came in and hugged me. And then my grandmother was, like, looking at it in shock, like, I didn't see she was a great kid. And it was like, wait, what is happening? I'd never done anything like that before. So when I started to, like, really dig around with it, I was like, oh, because my Hungarian ancestors were either tortured into submission for Catholicism or they were murdered. And I'm like, this is why I have a problem with religion. Okay. And then I get into some of, like, I've worked with my Jewish ancestors since 2016. And so I had a conversation with my grandma. She's like, Lauren, they didn't know they were going to get gassed. They just walked in. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, and the other ones were in the ghetto and we don't have a record of when the Nazis came in. So she's like, we have record of some deaths, but not record of others. And then our ancestors, some went to the US and some went to Arizona, to Australia. Mm-hmm. So then I'm looking at all that. And then my maiden name is really Saracen is the origin, which is Muslim.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh, this is why I've always had a problem with religion, because all of my people have been oppressed through it. And then I started to look at religious text and pre-religious text. And I was like, oh, so actually the Sophia Gaia story of creation is that inorganic beings sprang off of her body as she descended. And the head, quote unquote, inorganic being, Archon, is the God of the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. What? And so then I started to go through the list. I was like, okay, so then if this is a 6,000-year cycle-ish, right, then all of the structures within this Piscean frequency, if it's about oppression and control and cutting off, that means we're separated physically with quarantine, psychographically with the masks. Then we had civil rights. So then we got separated by race.
Mm-hmm.
What was next? Then the election. So then political beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I just was like, and I was like, so silly. You mentioned it's going to be a 1,000-year transition. I was like, religion is next. Religion is next. Everybody's going to find out next month that their religion is a fraud. And then we're all going to be God. And then it's just going to be over. You can imagine my disappointment, young starseed.
Oh, gosh. I know. Well, you know, it's funny because my husband and I were just talking about this, and Fairy Grasshopper, who I love your handle, has a great comment I want to get to in just a second. But, you know, one thing you're bringing up, I just was talking to my husband about this, is there is this desire or expectation that there's going to be instant gratification. You know, everything's going to come out right now. Everyone's going to know the truth of everything. All these things are going to happen. And I'm just telling you guys, like, the biggest mistake you can make is to think it's going to happen right now. There is exciting things happening. I don't think I would have chosen to live in this particular time frame if cool stuff wasn't going to happen right away. I think when I came here, I think when I landed on this planet in this life, I was like, oh man, there's so much work to do still. So I think I was like, you guys better do something while I'm here because I don't want to wait around. So I'm with you on the not waiting around. However, I'm going to tell everyone right now, like, don't forget, this is a long ascension cycle in the scheme of the human experience. And so we have to keep that in mind. So as much as we want things to happen right now, like it's going to take time. It is happening right now, but it's always, I always liken it to the tarot cards. So the death card in the tarot is complete and sudden change, right? That's complete and sudden change. Then there's the hanged man, and the hanged man is transitional change. And that is where we're at. The hanged man is the number 12 because it's a 12-month transition. Oh. And so when you think of the hanged man, this year right now, where I was in February of 2020, it's like night and day different, but it was a change over the year. And that's how you want to think of this ascension cycle. It's going to look completely different 1,000 years from now, 100 years from now, 50 years from now, 20 years from now, but it's not going, we're literally not going to be like saved in a month. Mm-mm. It's not going to happen.
No, I have so much to add to that. What were you going to say?
Let's do it. No, add
grad hospital. Oh.
Well, we'll go to her in a minute. Mm-hmm. What do you want to add? Do it.
Well, so I'm learning all this stuff, right? Like I have a tarot deck, but I don't really know. And I have a book and I don't really use them because I'm like, I don't really know like what these all mean. But what had happened was one day, you know, I like pillows. So I got like half my bed is full of pillows. And so one day I come in here and I'm like, I'm gonna meditate. And so I grab my quartz, my smoky quartz point, and I lay on my bed and I'm so just fried that I don't move any of my pillows. So the only way I can lay down is if I make my legs like the hanged man. Mm. But I didn't know this. So I'm laying down and then I have my quartz and I like just have it on my stomach and I'm just like laying there and I'm like, God, please tell me. So all of my, when I found out that this was an energetic change, all my meditations have been, show me who's the first perpetrator. Right? Because I'm doing my ancestral work. And so that's how I got to the frequencies of service to self or service to others and when the manipulation is. Yeah. And then I'm like, well, then if it's energy and emotion, then what is it? It's a vibration and chemical. Yes. So all of my interpretation is like all the way down to that, because for me, I don't really like to feel because it's really overwhelming because I feel so much. So if I can deal with my stuff on the components, then it's easier for me to do, for me to process. So those were always my requests in my meditation. So I'm laying there and all of a sudden, my, you know, your blood capillaries, you know, your, how that looks like on that, scientific display thing that they would have of the dead bodies, the cadavers.
Yes.
So the one with the nervous system or the cardiovascular system that has all the red, see, I don't even know, like whatever. So
I know what you're talking about. I don't know the name of it either.
Okay, good. Thank you for saying that. So my whole body that turned from red to gold.
Wow.
And then down below me, I saw lifetime after lifetime of versions of me dying in the position that I was in. And when I got down to the bottom, then all of a sudden the energy came back up. And then I went up, like I hit my body in my now moment, and then it went up. And I was like, what just happened? And then when I started reading about stuff, it was that, oh, in this ascension cycle, you can bring all your past lives current and be in the now moment. Mm-hmm. So I was like, is that just what happened? And then when I was looking at tarot stuff, I was like, I was laying in that position. Like, what is happening? And so like that experience was just like really crazy, extraordinary. And that's how my ascension has been, where like I've experienced it and then read about it later.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very new to all of the terminology.
Oh, you explain it so beautifully though. And it totally makes me want to nerd out on the quantum fields, because what you're talking about is so important for everyone to understand. I mean, if you want your head to explode, you know, I stopped using the terminology past life quite some time ago, because for me, it's really all happening now. So essentially God source fragments, those fragments, fragment, those fragments, fragment, and suddenly you're part of those fragments and you're fragmented into however many lifetimes you're experiencing all at once. And so I practice Tibetan Buddhism, and really the bone tradition of Tibetan shamanism is what I'm deep into as a practitioner. And you know, the whole practice of self-realization and enlightenment, if you want to call it that, is exactly what you're saying. Really what you're doing is bringing all of your fragments, you're merging those fragments into yourself so that you're fully present as a whole fragment. And then these fragments are merging up above. So something you guys, everybody, for everybody to know and for you to know, Lauren, is the ascension cycle is the merging of consciousness. So the planet Venus already did it. So part of why Venus is known as the planet of love is because they ascended and merged into God source like that. And part of why they did that is because they didn't have posable thumbs. Okay, so we have posable thumbs, so we're kind of warring. Now Mars is another example. Mars, angry fire. Mars did not ascend. Mars blew itself up. Okay. So what happened was Mars, instead of merging, created all this destruction and drama, and who knows what's going on up there on that planet right now. So that's an example of what happens when you ascend and merge versus not ascending and merging. So right now the planet has moved into fourth density consciousness. Sixth and seventh density consciousness is where everything is merged. So I'm a trans channel, and I channel a group called the Sacred Council of Light. Well, they weren't always the Sacred Council of Light. I first started channeling in 2008, Oxen Shaman. Oxen, A-K-S-U-N, was an Egyptian master. He's still with me. But what's happened is Oxen merged into this group of beings, and then they merged in this group of beings called the Collective, who I worked with last year. And then suddenly they merged, and now they're the Sacred Council. So we're all merging. So what you explained, Lauren, is so perfect and beautiful. Exactly what happens is, at a quantum level, all of our soul fragments are coming back together, and eventually the planet itself will shift into sixth and seventh density, and then it'll merge with God source itself. So that's what happens, is we're all merging into that space. So it's really fascinating to talk about.
Oh my God. Well, I'm so glad that you mentioned Mars, because I'm Aries rising and Libra moon, and oh, thank you, Fairy Grasshopper. Thank you. And so I used to always be like so upset with myself, to be like, I'm ruled by the God of War. I'm supposed to be nice as a Pisces, because I didn't know how to manage any of it. And so when I was going through this process last year, my Aries rising, because of where Mars was last year, I was just like full steam ahead and just plowing through and like zapping my energy, would be in bed for a day. And one of my shaman friends, she was like, can you slow down? You're not letting it drop in. And I'm like, but I don't know what to do. Like, I can't help it. And so now when like I saw astrology that Mars went into retrograde or something, I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, thank God, I'm going to be able to rest. And what I think, like, as a star seed, and I'm sure I'll find this out more later, but I feel like that Aries rising, God of War, like, I'm part of the destroyer. I'm here to destroy, and I'm here to unite. And like, even like I got bit a couple times by a dog because I was protecting my dog, and I'm like ripping the dogs apart. This happened last Saturday, and my fingers got messed up because I was getting stuck in their collars. And then my dog's collar flew off, and I thought I was going to lose control of him. So I just dropped down on top of my dog like a shell. So I've got my knees all scraped up, and I was like,
oh my gosh.
I was like, F yeah, God of War. You know what I mean? I was like, like, I'm tough. Like, I am here to knock this Pisces out of here. You know what I mean?
Like, yes. Oh my gosh. Well, it's the warrior, you know? And so funny, interesting Aries story is, my husband's an Aries, and he actually works in aerospace and worked on the Orion program to go to Mars. So there's a whole big collection of that. But you know, the starseeds who come from the Orion star system and Orion's belt, you know, they're the warriors here to fight the fight for independence and freedom and all those things. So it's really important. And I just love all these comments. I want to get, so Fairy Grasshopper brought up, she talked about the divine masculine and the divine feminine. And I think there's been when you talk about service to self and service to others, there's definitely a service to self energy that I feel is diluting divine feminine, divine masculine energies. There's a dilution of this. And I think now in some ways this is part of the journey, because if you look at off-world species, off-world beings typically aren't masculine or feminine, right? They have a mix. And so there is a lesson for us as a society to be able to accept and understand those differences. But there's also this repression of the divine feminine and the divine masculine. It's not just the feminine. Even though we're moving into the time of the divine feminine, there's certainly an oppression of that, and a holocaust of women healers and all these things. But there's also, I think, a real repression of the divine masculine and not being okay to be a man. So I'm just curious what your thoughts are about divine feminine and divine masculine. I'm so glad she brought it up.
Yeah. Thank you, Fairy Grasshopper. Yeah. Yeah. So how explicit, I won't swear, but like, how much are we allowed to talk about sex?
As long as we don't get kicked off YouTube, we're good.
Okay. So I definitely suffered from the distortion of the divine feminine, because when I was in my 20s, I was like, screw God. Like, I'm tired of all these spiritual people that say the energy shifts and they don't, you know, withhold their commitments. And I just was like, done. I was working in hair and makeup and studio stuff and everything. And so I was like, God, blah, right? I went to a Christian school, blah, blah, all this stuff. And so I denounced him, it, source, and built my life on I'm strong and I'm independent. And so I went into the heavy strength training. I did powerlifting competitions. Like, I was like all the way over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and now, like, I joke, like, I'm surrounded by pink, which has not been like the norm for me. And as far as like divine feminine and masculine, I'm oddly attracting men from a certain country, which I'm not going to say, but I'm going to start doing, I am doing grid work that I'm unconsciously aware of right now. Mm-hmm. But in April, I'm going to start working with someone who is going to fill me in on the 3D. And so the type of man that these men are from the same country are very similar. They've got firearms, which I'm a fan of, which, like, I get heat from some spiritual people, but I'm like, my body, mm-hmm. mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, I'd like to protect this physical body, you know? So like, and they kind of like, quote unquote, tell me what to do in a certain guidance way. Like, they are definitely the leader, mm-hmm. and they're the protector, and they're the provider.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm down with that. That's the kind of man that I want. You know, like, mm-hmm. And because I think for like a lot of our sitcoms and our movies, it's like the women have been berating men to mm-hmm. get them to do what they want. And as far as like the divine feminine, like, I had set a goal. If I set a goal, my Aries rising is going to take me there. So in the summer, I was like, oh, this is good. This is how it happened. Okay, there, here it is. So there was a guy that I met like a couple years ago, and we just kind of kept on in touch on the gram, and he's an athlete, an Olympic athlete. Olympic dreams shattered last year, right? Didn't get to go. And so it was August, and I had just found out that there's a portal opening over Egypt, and this is the bridge that's going to take people over, and this is my young spiritual grasshopper, where I thought that my mission was to awaken everybody in this four-month period. So I was so ridiculous. So I was like an overdrive for that. And then when I was looking at that period, I'm like, okay, well, then if the energy's higher, then I'm going to get more of what I want. And I'm like, so let me embody divine masculine energy, because by the time this is over, in my head, I'm thinking I will either attract a divine masculine partner or I will embody it, and then I will be complete.
Mm-hmm.
But then it kind of tilted to where, like, I repelled men because it was divine masculine bumping up against each other. Lesson learned. And, but what was funny that when I set that goal on a Sunday, the next day, this guy calls me. He's like, hey, I'm up in your area. He lives 3 hours away. You want to have dinner? Okay. So we had sex, and it never talked to him again. Like, we text messaged a little bit, but like, he showed divine masculine.
Mm-hmm.
And with all the things that he did, of all the things that I had in my mind of how conversations I wanted to have, how I wanted to feel. And then we were intimate together. And then I'm freaking out because I'm like, I don't want to move. Like, I like my life. I don't want to do this. I don't da-da-da. All these things, I spiral out of control of my fear. I get on with my mentor. He's a man. Thank God I have a man mentor right now. And I'm just crying because I'm like, am I a hoe? Like, what did I do? Like, I shouldn't have had sex with him. And he's like, I'm like, or did I really just manifest exactly what I wanted? And he's like, you just were shown what that partnership would look like. So mm-hmm. like, that was like really interesting. So like, I'm manifesting my experiences that I want to have, but it's not the like regular law of attraction. I want a house. I want a car. I want money, that type mm-hmm. of thing. Like, it's really mm-hmm. my reality. And so like, since that happened, and since I always go on walks, and one day I walked past this really handsome guy with his big smile and a beer and his dog. And I wanted to talk to him, but my body kept walking because I was like, I can't do men right now. I can't, like, this is too scary for me. And so it was after that, that I was like, okay, like, we got to shift gears and get into divine feminine. So like, I've slowed down so much and been way more lyrical, you know, is like mm-hmm. the best way to describe it instead of staccato. And the other thing is, when I am like, making out with somebody, because I'm not having sex right now, because I don't want to have sex until somebody's in love with me. mm-hmm. you know, like I don't want to, I'm done with that casual sex stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'm definitely more, and maybe it's like the 30s thing that like you're more sexually, you know, attuned or something, but like I'm having way more fun in what I'm doing pre-sex, in feeling the divine feminine of the allure and attracting somebody and being kind of like under their protection. Like that's not the right mm-hmm. word, but like there's a different shift of it's balanced, but there's still some sort of like superiority in a certain way.
Yes.
It's very organic and feels good. Is there a word for that? Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. I don't know if there's a word to describe it, but I like what you described. And yeah, I agree with you. And I, you know, it's an interesting thing as a strong, independent woman to begin to embody the divine feminine and what it really looks like and feels like. And I'm writing a new book right now. I'm almost done. Oh, my publisher's waiting and waiting for me. But it's all about dating. I was single for 7 years and dated and had all these experiences. And it was really about the unfoldment of my divine feminine. I mean, there's a reason that I have my rose gold flame background in Buddhist Biohacker, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
It's all about the divine feminine. And Susan, yeah, I think your comment did go away. So maybe repost it.
But we read that at the same time.
I love it. I'm like, yep, it's gone wherever it went. Repost it, Susan. Mm-hmm. But anyways, so yeah, you do, when you shift gears from really being in control and running a lot of masculine energy, for me, I see that as this very yellow vibration. It's mm-hmm. a very type A analytical control energy, you know, focused space. When you move from that and you start to step into that feminine, go with the flow, comfortable with the unknown kind of energy, you really do start to bring in a completely different kind of partner when you're dating and who they are and what they have to offer. And it's a really beautiful thing to see both sides of that energy, I think, mm-hmm. and understand mm-hmm. what you're comfortable in. Because I think being a woman, we've been taught to be uncomfortable being feminine.
Yeah.
You know, even, you know, there's a difference between the mainstream putting sex out there, femininity, and the tantric Shakti being in your sexuality and being a woman. Like there's a very different vibe to that. And I'll tell you what, it's definitely more uncomfortable to put out the tantric Shakti, vulnerable, I'm in my sexuality woman than it is to be like, I'm, you know, a woman and I'm proud kind of thing. That's like a different, it's not the same thing.
Mm-mm. No, it's not. And this is very new, like literally last 3 weeks. I'm like, whoa.
Yes. Oh my God. I love it. Well, that's why you're on here, man. This is like this is the sacred container for the divine feminine, even though I have men on the show and I love them too, but they typically really are in their masculinity and their divine masculine space. So, it makes a huge difference. So, I want to shift over before we run out of time here. I want you to talk about the book you're working on and what it's all about. And sorry, my hair's
going. Yeah. Okay. Oh, your hair is great. Can I have some of it?
Oh, thank you. I just cut off 6 inches and it was so long and pretty. And so now I'm like, what is going on? I'm like trying to, but anyways.
Yeah. It's like, sometimes it doesn't know what to do. I know I keep moving this because it's so thin. Anyway, I'm not going to manifest bad things about my
don't
hair.
Do it. Don't age. Do it.
So the book is, because I asked who's the first perpetrator, because when I was doing the work around a religion, I was certain I was going to find a person embodied of the head archon. And I've heard some people call out one person to say who they think it is, but I'm like, oh, I don't know. So when I started to see that it was just energy and I was like, oh, so this is where all the analogies of it's the wolf inside that you feed. Right? Like good or the good one or the evil one. And I was like, oh, we all do it. It's all us. We're the problem. It's us. And so when I realized that, I was like, okay, so actually it's an inversion that is purposeful from the polarity or it's an inversion because we observe something that was really neutral that we just haven't extracted a meaning of it yet. We didn't give it an empowering meaning. And I'm like, well, then if it's only that, and the law of attraction says thought and heart must match to create your reality, then if we had these events that happened 0 to 7, you know, if we brought in karmic stuff that were, you know, whatever, all of that esoteric stuff. But like in just our 3D world from 0 to 7, from being an egg inside of our mom when she was developing inside of your grandma, from that, you know, and even before that to 7 years old. So if we're in theta download only brain waves and we're unconscious of the information being stored, then the emotional body, which is just vibration, is storing all of that. So it's that electromagnetic field that's creating our reality. And when I call it that, we have our trap, I actually call it the motherfucking trap. That's your, that's the thing that anchors you into the 3D matrix with your root chakra that turns to fear. You have expressed, you have repressed through your sacral chakra, that is your shame. And then you have expressed trauma, that is your projection of blaming other people for your reality. And I was like, that's the law of attraction gone wrong. We are unconsciously creating it through these three chakras, duplicating themselves, because then once they are repressed, we are self-inflicting, making us ill and causing our physical pain. And when they are expressed, they are pushing out into the field, creating the reality and material. We observe it, we have a feeling about what we're observing, and then we duplicate the cycle there. So I was like, oh, I get to teach the law of attraction gone wrong. Cool.
Yeah. You know,
because I'm a drama queen. I'm a Pisces. Like everything is like heightened and stuff. And then like when I get into my Aries rising and I get annoyed with people, I'm like, can't you just get over your shit already? Like what is going on? And I'm like, oh my God, I really have to balance this. But that's what the book is. And I just kind of teach it backwards, and each chapter stands on its own. And anybody can go to my website, laurensarcione.com/pain-explained-book, because I'm delivering a chapter as I write it every Friday by 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time to help me stay accountable to actually doing it. Cause I like never done a book. I've never written a book. So everybody's in the process as I'm doing it. So I'm definitely, before we hang up, I have to talk to you about your publisher, cause I don't know how to do this. I'm just doing it.
Yes. Well, I'm happy to help. And yeah, accountability is important. And I tend to give myself deadlines, like tell my publisher I'm going to have this done by this date. Cause otherwise, so I love your process because it's the same for me. Like I'm working on a spiritual entrepreneurship book and I'm doing the same thing as I'm teaching the course. I'm going to be writing these chapters because otherwise you don't get it done and there's no time to waste anymore. It's like, it's time to get everything out. And I know you just shared your website and we have it up on the screen, but share just a little bit with everybody here at the end, like how they get in touch with you, what you offer, what they can find, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. So the front page at laurensarcione.com, you have all the ways that you can work with me. One-on-one personal training, that's like, you know, the personal training. And then we have the 4-body integration, which is an 8-week intensive, which is a combo of personal training or private sessions. Like we do the woo-woo stuff of the high self stuff. It's not always fitness. And that's a combo of that, what I just said, and pain explained group coaching, where I meet every Tuesday at noon or 5 p.m. And I explain how the law of attraction has gone wrong in these group coaching sessions. And then you could just do the group coaching, which is $111 a month right now. It's going to go up in March, but yeah, like those 3 ways are the ways that I work with people.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I just loved having you on the show and I hope you come back and I hope this is the beginning of doing some cool stuff together because you have such a great energy.
Yeah. Well, yes, same, because I'm like, I haven't talked with anybody about Ascended Masters this in-depthly. So yes, we are together. We are Ascension sisters for sure.
Yes. I'm a Scorpio. So Scorpio Pisces, we do very well together usually. So that's pretty awesome. And for everybody who is watching, I just want to take a minute to share about our new community, because again, it's so incredible. So if you guys haven't learned yet, I have created our very own social community platform. It is on Apple, it is on Google, it is on the web. You can put it on your tablet, on your phone. It is an app. and it is a social community app. So if you want to leave the narrative, if you are interested in leaving mainstream social media like I have, my Instagram will be gone, you guys, in just a couple of weeks, and everything else is already gone. So I'm not even on anything but here on YouTube and Instagram right now, and my community app, which is Ajata Kasha, and I'll put it up here on the thing. I just want to make sure I talk about it because it's so amazing. We already have so many great people in the app and lots of leaders in the community. You can just search the Ajata Kasha community in Apple and in Droid. And it also, all the links are up on my website, Lisa M. Gunshore. Listen up, guys. The community is free. The app is free to download. The community is free. There is premium content on there. If you want to be part of my premium community, it's the same as it's always been. We have Seeker Circle every other week where I do live readings for all of my members. And we also have really incredible divination classes and all sorts of things. And we lost Lauren here. I don't know where she went. So we'll hopefully she'll come back. But I just wanted to share with all of you guys that that is out there and available to you. So there's no spammy content. There's no ads. There's no algorithms. Your information is private. It's really, really fabulous. So please, please, please definitely come and join us in the app and in the community. There's nothing more fabulous than scrolling through a feed of meditations and card readings and inspirational quotes and all sorts of stuff. So I just wanted to share that with you. And I think we lost Lauren, but I'm so thankful to her for being on the show. Thank you to everybody who has been watching. I just love each and every one of you so very much. And we are actually back for one more show tonight. We are back at 5:55 p.m. Mountain Time with Aimé Cartier, who is a psychic medium and clairvoyant teacher. She's so fabulous, and she is part of our Diamond Beauty series, which is every Thursday night. So I will see you guys later. Thank you so much, and have an amazing, amazing day.